I want to teach a little tonight if the Lord will help me. I think the first thing that we might ought to do tonight, we started off here, and I'll tell you what, our board just don't seem to be big enough, does it? Now then, you see all of this up here on one writing, and you wonder how in the world God gets everything into a person's heart, where he puts it at. But anyway, over here on this side, what I want to do, I want to put on the other lineage. We got one side of the lineage here. Now, Brother Taylor don't spell some of these things right. He just has to do the best he can. And he goes back and he changes them around. And he's got these spelled right. He's done checked them out and he's got them right. And so I tell you, it's hard to even pronounce them, let alone spell them. So he does the best he can. I think he does a real good job between my pronunciation and between understanding. I think he does pretty good. But anyway, over here, I tell you what, we'll do a little straw, a little block over here, and we'll just put it on the other side of the lineage. What about that? That'll be all right. Now, I'm going to say this. The ones that I said is going to leave us is not bad people. They're good people. They're fine people. Kind. I saw them, and they were good people. Giving people. Kind people. Clean people. All right, now, I want you to watch. Over here on this side, now we're going to list over here on this side the other tribes. First of all, we know that Paul said that the seed of Ishmael here, the seed of Ishmael, Hagar the mother, and so forth, was a symbol of old Jerusalem, which was in bondage to her children by the law. Is that right? Is that what we had this morning? And then we spoke about that being in the first dimension and tried to explain how that he said Sarah was the mother of us all, which was New Jerusalem. I tried my best today to emphasize the fact that Paul was using revelation. How have you understood that? Paul said an allegory. He said these things are an allegory of things to come. That's the terms of the Bible now, allegory. You say, I'm a preacher. All right, well, you tell me what allegory means. The Bible said preach the word. That's the word, allegory. I said these things are an allegory, which means a type and a shadow of things to come. I said these things are an allegory. Now, they're symbols, they're types, they're shadows. Paul said they are shadows of things to come. If I was walking down the road and the sun was shining behind me, the first thing you would see was my shadow. Is that right? I couldn't tell what I was, but you get some idea. So then, see, these are a shadow of things to come, a symbol, a type. Paul said, which things are an allegory? So he said, Sarah is the mother of us all, New Jerusalem. Now you say, where did he read that in the Bible? He didn't. That was revealed to him in the Arabian desert. That was revealed to him because he got in touch with God, and God gave him a revelation. So when I speak about revelation, don't look at me like I'm some fellow that's all cracked up, you know, and don't know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, I never heard him preach that over at that church over yonder. Well, where does he get all this stuff? I never heard about that. See, because it's not new. This is not new. This is older than I am. This is what Paul taught was revelation. This is just the early church coming back. That's all. It's not something new that Brother Pike's got up and led a group of people off in. Something that's wild and nobody don't know nothing about it. Because your pastor never taught it. Well, I know he was wrong. These people's pastor was Paul and he taught it. So you see here? He says here that Sarah is the mother of us all. Well, that's kind of confusing because it says that Eve is the mother of us all. That makes you wonder who your mother is, don't you? I don't even know who mine is. Now, if you'll notice here, it said Adam, he was the one that was given credit to start the lineage for the Bob. But according to this, it said Abraham is the father of the faithful. That makes you wonder who your dad is, don't it? I believe Abraham was mine, don't you? Abraham, the father of the faithful. Sarah was the mother whose daughters ye are, the Bible said, if you do well. So then, I I think you know where your mother is. Says she's the mother of us all, New Jerusalem. So that makes God our heavenly Father and the church our mother, don't it? New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Brother Ben Gahila used to sing it. Such a beautiful song. All right, now, over here we're going to name the lineage on the other side, and if you people don't mind, we'll use a contrast here. I wish I could erase this out, and I don't know what to do with it, because I need some of these things for memorandum's sake, and I don't want to spend my time standing here trying to figure it all out and waste our time. All right, we'll put it over here on this side. Now, first of all, we know that Jacob married Leah. We know that was the first wife, and we'll get on to these things later in the messages as we go along. We can't get them tonight. I've got to go back over some we've already taught to bring out the revelation on it. We're getting way ahead here now. All right, Jacob and married Leah. Now, he wanted Rachel, but he married Leah. He labored for Rachel, and it wasn't so in that country. You can't get the spirit before you can't get the nut before you get the peanut hole, can you? And you can't get the spirit without the flesh. You can't get the jelly without the jar. So then it was a law in that day that you couldn't marry the younger before you got the elder. God had that thing set up to give us our tithe. Now, so that's why the Lord Jesus took the Jews. He couldn't get the spiritual Jew until he took the natural. He just, you can't get the spirit without having a human body to develop it in, no more than you can get a car without a mold. All right, now, Jacob married Leah, and Rachel hated Leah, because she knew that though she was a sister, Rachel knew that Jacob loved her, and knew what had happened. So when she was hated, the Bible said that this woman's womb was open, and she began to bear children. And Rachel could not bear children. And Rachel got mad at Jacob and blamed him with it. I don't know why women do things like that, but they do. And then that got Jacob upset. He said, I'm not God. I can't give children. So then Leah bore Jacob a son. And the son's name was Reuben. I try to stay with me now. All right, now notice here, Jacob and Leah. Leah bore a son here named Reuben. All right, she rejoiced over that. She saw God favor her over her sister. But remember this, folks, God don't favor you no more than he does anybody else. He favored her because she was what the world calls the underdog. He always goes to that which is called the underdog. So, man, be careful how you walk on people when they're down, because that's when God's with them. All right, now, Jacob and Leah. All right, now, Reuben was the first one, and then she bore him another son called Simeon. Then after that, she bore him another son called Levi. And then after that, she bore him another son called Judah. Now, I want you to notice this especially. It's like Sister Lynn here and Brother Ralph coming from the house of Judah. It's not coincidental right here at this time. All right, now, Levi and Judah. Remember, from Judah comes the tribe, comes Jesus. Is that right? Now, a lot of folks say, well, Rachel was the one. Well, you better watch the natural part. God uses the natural part. Always the natural part. Now, there's Levi. Who is Levi? That's where the priesthood comes from. From Levi. Is that right? All right, from Judah comes Jesus Christ. All right, Reuben is the one that took up time with his own father's wife. Is that right? One of the concubines. Bill, I believe it was. All right, now, I want you to notice this. After this, the Bible said she left off bearing, and Rachel, envious of her sister, because in that day, if you bore a lot of children, you was called blessed. That was really something. Today, if you bear two or three children, they think you're crazy. They just put you off as being something that ought to be sent to management somewhere or some institution. Now, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, Judah. After this, the Bible said that when Rachel got in anger with Jacob and she couldn't bear children, she said to Jacob, I want children. And Jacob said, I can't give you children. I'm not in God's stead. And his anger was kindled against Rachel. So then Rachel took her handmaid, which was Bilhah, and gave Bilhah to Jacob to wife. Now, a lot of people get the wrong idea about this. They think that Jacob just went in and abused the handmaids and they lived like a bunch of prostitutes. He didn't do that. He married that woman. That was his wife. Now, he married Bilhah, which was the handmaid, and I made the statement that the handmaids was given because they didn't have doctors that day, it was midwife service, and they always had a nurse, they called it, or a midwife, or what they called a maid, handmaid, that went with them. Now then, Jacob, Rachel gave Bilhah to wife, which was her maid, her nurse. Now, she said she can bow upon my knees. All right, now, this woman bore Jacob two sons, which was Dan and Naphtali. Two sons. All right, then after this, it got Leah all stirred up, so she took Zilpha, her handmaid, and she gave Zilpha to Jacob for wife. Now he's got four wives. He got four times the trouble he had to start with. I don't know how in the world they ever got along like that. I can't figure that out. But anyway, here he is now. He's really in trouble. He's got four wives to fuss with or to keep straight. Right, now, here's Jacob, and he's married to Zilpah now, and she bears him two sons, and their name is Gad and Asher. Now then, after this, the Bible said God returns again to Leah, and she bears him two more sons. And this time it's Issachar and Zebulun. This makes her six sons. And then the next two sons, as you know, God finally had mercy on Rachel. And she bore two sons, which was Joseph and Benjamin. Alright. Now then you see this. Now here's the sons, which are the tribes. Now there's a daughter also born, but now here's the sons. We name the son. This won't be confusing. It gives us 12 tribes here. Now we got three, is that right? Or two, is that right? Alright, now later on we want to get to the third one, which is the apostles. But now we got two here. We want to use these one against another and try to explain something if we can here. All right, now, if you'll notice, now if you'll watch tonight and notice, this right here on this side that we spoke of right here, I'll get over on this side for a little while and I'll give you a chance to look at that side of the board. If you'll notice right here now, these, Paul said, was accounted for as the lineage of Ishmael or of Hagar, the bondswoman. He said, who is right now and who is in bondage with her children. With her children. All right, now then, Sarah, the mother of us all, which is near Jerusalem, we brought her over there where she was buried in the field of Ephraim in the cave of Machpelah, that he purchased from the sons of Heth, Ephraim by name, and paid 400 pieces of silver, current money with the merchants. Now he bought this legally. In that day they bought and they sold just like we buy and sell today. And Abraham bought that. And so we see that with this, Abraham had a burying place and a place to settle down with his family. Now then we got this lineage over here, and then we got this lineage over here. Now, if you write these down, we'll erase the board so it won't be confusing and start off from scratch, and that's where your mind can follow it. Now, if somebody's new here. All right, now, all of this, we're refreshing your mind on it. You remember this morning we explained these few things here. Some of you remember it, and then we brought these two lineages down here. All right, now, have you got this down? Have you got this lineage down over here right now? Have you? All right, let's erase all of it out, Brother Taylor, except right over here. Now, we'll start from scratch. We can write those names back down over yonder on the other side in connection with that Nebajith and so forth. Leave them up there. That's going to erase all this out. Now, I want you to notice now, we've got two lineages that we're dealing with, and this morning we primarily speaking dealt with the side of Ishmael and tried to explain just exactly what we understood about this lineage of Ishmael. And I tried to explain to where it wouldn't be confusing why that Paul said that Hagar answereth to all Jerusalem, when we know very well that all Jerusalem was the lineage of Abraham and Sarah, and was the lineage of Jacob, and was not the lineage of Ishmael. And therefore it makes you wonder why he said that the seed of Ishmael answereth to old Jerusalem on Mount Sinai, where the law is given, that it is now and it's in bondage with children. All right, now let's write these back down on the other lineage. All right, now then we've got Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah over here for Leah. We'll write these back down right quickly here so that you'll have these. We put down a few more names here while we're at it. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, Judah. All right, Dan and Naphtali to Biller, the maid. This is Rachel's maid. Dan and Naphtali. Gad and Asher for Zilpha. Gad and Asher. This is Zilpha, the handmaid of Leah. Dan and Asher, Brother Taylor. And Issachar and Zebulun was the sons also of Leah that came after these other children. And then Joseph and Benjamin, as you very well know, which was Rachel's children. Now we might as well just go ahead and put these down since we done started here. Remember, how many of you know that Abraham married another wife? Is that right? Yeah, he did. All right. Now, her name was Keturah. He married another wife. And her name was Keturah. We'll put her name back over here, the other wife of Abraham. Now, how many of you know that he had more children? Now, he was getting pretty old. He was about 140 years old. A lot of you folks feel old when you get 50 and 60. Brother Jimmy, he's about 140 years old and just living, raising a family. Now, he had some children, about six children, which was Zimran, Jokshan, Medan. We'll name these off. We'll just get a list of them while we're at it here. Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Sher. These are the six children that he had here. Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, and Ishbak, and Sher. Yeah, that's right. All right, then we'll list these over here while we're at it. Yeah, list these over here. Now, Milcah, we got to deal with these anyway. List Milcah over here. Now, Milcah, you know, Milcah was the sister of Lot. Now, Milcah, Nahor married Milcah. And we're fixing to deal with this, so we just go ahead and put this down while we're at it, since we erased the board. Milcah bore children to Nahor. Hers, Buzz, and skip one of the Hazor. Let's see if we can get them lined up right now. Huz, and Buzz, and Camille, and Hazor, and Kesed, Pildash, and Jidlap, and Bethuel. Now these are the ones that Milcah bare to Nahor. He had a concubine also here. It was called Ruma. We'll put hers down while we're at it. Ruma. Some of these play a part in our teachings. She bore Tebal, Gaham, Phahash, Tebal, Gaham, and Phahash. All right, let's see if we can get these lined up together now. Let's see if I got them right now. We got Huz, Buzz, Camille, Hazar, Kesed, Pildash, Jethla, and Bethuel. Tebal, Gaham, and Phahash. All right, there's another one there. We'll get it in a few minutes. Keturah, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Sher. All right, that's right now. All right, now, these are the children of Ruma, which is the concubine of Milcah. They call it a common law wife, I believe, in Mexico. Is that right, Al? You know what they call a common law wife? Okay. And then this is This is Milcah, which was the daughter of Haran. How many of you bring that out this morning? The daughter of Haran. All right, now, right here on the last one, if you listen real close now, on the last one right here is where Rebecca comes from, before. This is where Rebecca comes from, right here. See, Rebecca was not the daughter of Milcah, but she comes from Bethuel. Now, how many of you know who was her brother? You remember us bringing it out one time? Laban was her brother. That's where Jacob goes to get his wife. Now, where is this at right here? You understand where this is taking place? How many of you know where it's taking place? Mesopotamia, in the city of Nahor. They speak of Paddan Aram. There's a difference between Paddan Aram and the wilderness of Paran. We spoke of the wilderness of Paran this morning. Now, let's just take our time. You ain't in no big hurry, are you? Let's just take our time a little bit tonight. And if we can, we'll get these things lined up where you can get them wrote down on the tablet here. All right. Now then, we got everything raised out here. I have to find out where we'll pick up at. All right, now, remember Abraham married at 140. He married again. I say 140, somewhere along in there. He married again for about another 40, 50, 60, say about another 35 years. These children was born unto him. And then at 175 years old, you remember Abraham died. And Ishmael's son died at 137. And Sarah died at 127. Now, they died out, and after this comes Isaac into the picture. I said this morning that we'd talk about him tonight if we could. He married at the age of 40. All right, now, he marries Rebecca at 40. When he's 60, then he has children born unto him, which is Jacob and Esau. But he marries at 40. Now, we pick up here with him. And he does the same thing that his dad done. The Lord spoke to Abraham about 11 times, I guess, or maybe it might have been 12, but I count about 11 times that the Lord spoke to Abraham. And then after this, God begins to speak to Isaac. The Bible said that shortly after this, that Isaac and Ishmael buries their dead over in the field of Ephraim in the cave of Machpelah, over there with the mother in the burying place. Now, and then Isaac, he's married to Rebecca. He marries Rebecca in about the same time. He marries Rebecca somewhere around about that time. Abraham, he marries Keturah. And then after that, they raise children for about 35 years, and then Isaac and Ishmael buries him. All right, then after this, Isaac goes into the land of Gerar. He goes over into the land of the Philistines because there is a famine in the land. Now, the same thing happened to his daddy. A famine got in the land, and it drove him down into the land of Egypt. Now, are you spiritual tonight? Now, what causes the children of God to stray from their spiritual homeland? What causes it? What causes travel over in this pastor to want to get over in another pastor? What causes that? You understand what I'm saying? Now, people of God don't just wander off from their church. They don't just wander off from their homeland. They don't do that. The Jews just didn't wander off for nothing. God drove them out of it. He drove Abraham out of the land of Canaan and Isaac out, driving them into a land where he could sustain them. And God let them go down to Egypt. Why did he drive the church over into all these Trinitarian teachings? Why did he do that? Because there was enough of the Word of God being taught over there to where they could feed. But that wasn't his pleasure. Now, a lot of them got rich, so to speak. Now, you get a Bible education over in the seminary. Did you know that? You can get rich in that sense. But the thing is, God drove them out of the land of Canaan to be able to feed them and take care of them. And so when the time comes for them to come back in the fourth generation, he brings them back to the land of Canaan. And so then God, which has driven the church out, just as he drove the Jews out of their homeland, and they wandered all over the place, now they're coming back to their homeland. And at this very same hour, we who have been scattered abroad into the Methodists and the Baptists and the Church of God and all of these other things, God is gathering these people together and bringing them back, because the famine is over in the land of Canaan, and now something is about to happen. And so then God is gathering his people back together. He said he would gather Israel back together on the wings of an eagle. And you remember how that the American Plains, which is the eagle nation, went and picked them up. And they told me, I heard it said that they was afraid to get on the plane when they saw the plane. And the rabbi told them, said it's written in the scriptures that he will gather us back on the wings of an eagle. When he saw the American plane, and they all climbed on board the plane and went back on the wings of an eagle. Is that right? Went back on the wings of an eagle to their homeland, and we brought out something the other night on the flag when we got into the mind of Revelation. All right, so then you see here that Isaac, he goes over to Keran, the same place where Abraham was. Over and he gets mixed up with Abimelech, who tells him the same thing his dad did. He said, this is my sister, but really she was his cousin. So he said, this is my sister. Well, after a while, Abimelech saw him sporting with his wife, after they'd been out of the Bible for a long time. He saw Isaac sporting with his wife, and he said, of a surety, she's your wife. And so then he reproved him over it. And after that he was reproved over, saying that Rebekah was his sister, then the Bible said he became exceedingly great, very great. He already had the riches of Abraham, and God was blessing him, and he wasn't just great, but the Bible said he was very great. That's something, isn't it? Think how rich Jesus was. Think how rich Jesus was. Just think about that. When he was in this world, how rich he was. All right, what God had. And you know what he said? This I do, but greater things shall ye do. And Rebekah and Isaac coming into the riches of the Father, yeah, the Bible said it was very great. It was said of Abraham, he's great. But it was said of Isaac that he's very great. And so then here he is with all the wealth and all the riches that God has given unto him. Now, just before this, before this thing takes place where he goes into the land of Gerar, and before he marries this wife, Rebekah, we go down, as I said, to the land of Mesopotamia, down to the house of Nahath. Now, I want you to notice this, that Abraham, after he buried Sarah, remember we was over by the well Beersheba, she died in Kirjath Arba, which is called Hebron, and he buys this field of Machpelah, which is over against Mamre. You remember what we said about Mamre the other night? Try to keep these in your mind if you can. That's why I want you to write them down and then get the tape. All right, now then, at this time, Abraham, the Bible said he's well stricken in age. He hasn't married Keturah yet, and Isaac hasn't married Rebekah yet. So he tells his servant, Eliezer, to put his hand under his thigh right here. He tells him to swear to him that he will not take a wife to his son from among the Canaanite women, but that he will go to the house of his kindred. All right, now then, the kindred here, the natural kindred here, indicates spiritual kindred. Is that right? Spiritual kindred. The Bible teaches that we are not to marry out of our tribe. Now, it's so easy, folks, to get things mixed up. It's so easy to take one natural thing and then mix a spiritual thing with it, or take a vice versa. You understand what I'm saying? Now then, thou shalt not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Now, why? Yeah, see, here's the thing. He doesn't want you to take a ministry from out there among those people. Solomon couldn't be satisfied with the Israelite women. He had to go take strange wives, and that don't work. It never works, because they turn your heart away from one God, one faith and baptism in Jesus' name, and the first news you know, you're cutting corners to get their favor, and you're over here, you're just like they are. You understand what I'm saying? He said, thou art not to take a wife from among them. You don't do that. That's what happened to Brother Oral Roberts. He went out there and he wanted to get the Baptist. He wanted to get the Methodist. Wanted to get the Presbyterian. The first news you know what happened. He was just like Solomon. He found himself, as Solomon did, building temples for those heathen women out there, spiritually speaking churches. He found himself building a college for them, and now who's got control of it? The money world's got control of him. And Brother Roberts has become a slave to him in that sense. And I'm sure he's just like Samson. If he could shake himself and get his hair to grow out, he'd come right back to what he left. I'm sure that he would. Now, but here we see this servant. The Bible said he's over everything that Abraham has. And he leaves Abraham, takes 10 camels and takes some men with him, and he takes gold and silver and so forth, and he goes down into the land of Abraham's kindred, which is down to Nahor, the city of Nahor, which is in Mesopotamia. Now, when he gets down there, the Bible said he got there about the time of the evening, where the women go out to the wells to draw water. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Now, I believe this is about the evening time, don't you? And I believe the women are about ready to go out to draw water. We're speaking of the church now. They went out to draw water. The Bible said that when he came up, he stopped his camel and he said, "Now, Lord," he said, "if you made my journey prosperous," he said, "let the one that you want for my master's wife to come out, and when I ask for a drink of water, let her say unto me, for I will not only give you water, but I will draw water for your camels." This is not a fleece. Now somebody said, "Well, you said you didn't believe in fleeces, Brother Pike." I don't. This is not a fleece. A fleece is when you're in question of something that God's already told you. You should take the word of God. But this man here is asking God to show him something here. Show him something. He's just plain saying, "God, do a certain thing for me." And so then, the Bible said immediately before he was done speaking with God, the Bible said it come to pass that God will hear before we cry. And before he was done speaking, here comes Rebecca. The Bible said she was a virgin and a never known man, and here she comes out to the well. And that's something you can't say today about our women. All of them just about as defiled. But anyway, here she come out. There's something precious in that day about being pure. Now, today, it's just, to be the other way around, it's that today that's popular. Now, they got men virgin clubs. But anyway, here you see, she comes out to the well, and when she comes out, the man asks for a drink of water. She said, "I'll give you water, and I'll draw water for your camels." That's a pretty big job, 10 camels. But anyway, she draws water for him. Now then, the man, watching to see if God has made his journey prosperous, he takes out an earring of half a shekel weight of gold, and he gives it to her. He takes out two bracelets of 10 shekel, and he gives it to her. And then she gets excited. She invites him over to their house, and she said, "We've got provender enough over there to take care of the camels. We've got a place for you, and you can abide there." Now, notice here, when she goes home, she tells her brother about it, Laban. She tells Laban about it. And Laban, he gets excited, and he goes out there. And I imagine one thing he got excited over was the money. Because judging the way he done Jacob down there, he must have been kind of money-minded. But anyway, he got excited when he saw the bracelets and the earrings, and he went out there and invited the man in. So the man came in, and he said, "I'll not eat until I tell you my mission." So he told him the mission. And the Bible said that they asked Rebecca, and we'll skip over a lot of it here, if we can, just to get the highlights. So he told Rebecca, they said, "Will you go back with this man?" He said, "I will." Or she said, "I will." All right, now then, she agreed to go with these men and with this leader of these men, which was a servant of Abraham, and go back to become Isaac's wife. Now, she was the daughter of Bethuel here. And Laban was a Syrian. So that's her brother. She is a Syrian. And she goes back over to this land of Canaan from the land of Mesopotamia. She goes back to it. All right, now then, she goes back to the land of Canaan. When she gets back to the land of Canaan, the Bible said it's in the evening time. And when she's coming in here, the Bible said that Isaac is walking through the fields. He's walking through the fields in the evening tide. And when we say evening tide, I pointed this out one time before, we're not saying evening time. Now, when we say evening time, it means the time of the day is getting even, like the darkness and the light is becoming even. They're meeting each other. When we say even tide, they used to say even tide, which means a certain time of the evening when the ocean gets even. You that have been around the ocean, you know what even tide is. It's not rough anymore. It's not waves. It's even tide. And about this time of the day, Isaac went out into the fields to meditate. Now, this is the place where the church is at today, folks. It's in a state of meditation. The old church world has died out, which is natural Jerusalem. The old church world has died out. Remember, Sarah's gone and Rebecca's coming in. All right, now, in the evening time, here he is out in the field meditating. Meditating at eventide. All right, here he is out there meditating. And the Bible said that at this time the camels come and he sees Rebecca and Rebecca sees him. And Rebecca says to the man that's leading the camels, say, who is this? Who is this? And he says, this is my master. And immediately she puts a veil over her face. Because of that day they put a veil over their face. Like Moses, he put a veil over his face when he come down to show that wooden thing. And she put a veil over her face. Moses come down off the mountain as a symbol of Jesus with the veil over his face. As a symbol of Jesus, for that is the bride. The head and the body and so forth. That is the bride. All right, now, he had been in the presence of God. Now I want you to get this. God within the veil, the revelation within the carnal-minded veil, the veil went in twain. He brought that out in one of the other tapes and brought it out a little bit this morning. Now here he is walking in the evening time, meditating, and about this time the bride comes. Now the Bible said the sons of God shall marry the church as a man taketh to himself a wife. The sons of God. Now, I tried to explain this as near as I know how. A lot of people across the country, they have a difference in their teachings about the bride and about the sons of God. And I tried to explain it that they're one and the same. And I tried to give you an explanation. We got it on tape somewhere that shows how that they are one and the same. Now, the sons of God marry the church. And here we see a beautiful picture of it. Isaac, who has come into the wealth of his father. Now, folks, when we think about wealth, we think about dollars and cents and houses and land and all this kind of thing. But Paul said the true wealth of God, all the treasures of God, and the true wealth of God is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the revelation of Almighty God. This is the wealth of God because it speaks things into existence. It speaks things out of existence. It controls heaven and earth. It controls the creative part of the church and all this stuff. It's everything to have the knowledge of God. This is the wealth of God, and it's called the true treasures of the Lord Jesus. Now then, Isaac has become heir to it. There are some sons of God that's going to become heir to this, and they're going to marry the church because the church, which is from their kindred, distant kind over here, like a cousin, back over here, the church is going to hear about the great wealth of the mind of God, of the revelation, and of this great wisdom, and is going to come to it. When the Bible said that the queen of the south heard about the wisdom of Solomon, and though she had jewels, and though she had gold, and though she had silver, she came from a long ways to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Is that right? The Queen of Sheba. Here the Queen of Sheba comes over to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and when she got there, she said, the half of it has never been told. So I heard of all of this great revelation, Solomon, but they never told me the half of it. Since I got here, I'm more astounded than ever. All right, now then, Isaac, these sons of God, according to the Bible, there is going to come a moving of a woman. And she's going to be moved in this direction. It's coming. You know what's for it now? Because it's coming, and they're going to be moved toward this revelation right here. That's why I said that Sister Lynn back here and Brother Ralph coming in at this time. It's no coincidence that they're coming in. Well, we're speaking of the house of Judah. Now, after a while, that the Lord will help us when we get over a little further to the teachings of Solomon. And over the days of Solomon, we'll try to highlight this a little bit better to where you'll know better what I'm talking about. That's probably about 10 months off now. Or not, maybe we get there a little early. Anyway, now you see this, Isaac walking in the field at the eventide. And here he is walking in the field at the eventide, and behold, here comes Rebekah. Now to me, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Here comes 10 camels, which indicates to me the 10 commandments of God. The only thing that can stand that hot, burning desert out there is these camels that can drink enough water to take care of themselves as they journey across this blistering desert. Now then, the 10 commandments of God, and it looks like the Holy Ghost is leading them. I believe that's what he represents. It looks like the Holy Ghost is leading these 10 commandments. And here comes the Jew and the bride together, which if you look at it, here the veil is, which shows the Jew over the bride's face, and here's the bride within the veil. All coming over there. Coming along, you can see an Eliezer, the Jew here, the Ten Commandments bringing in, and you can see the bride, all of it coming in together here, coming back to the Father, which is Abraham. I know that Rebecca, she comes, and the Bible said that she meets him. He takes her into the mother's tent, and there she is married to him, and she becomes his wife. Then she moves the veil. Now, we've had some teachings along, preaching, we brought this out, that we are in the hour of the removing of the veil. Remember, the bride has had the veil of carnality, and the veil of the flesh and the fleshly doings, and the veil of the intellectual reasoning, or the veil of the seminary indoctrination of the Word of God, which veil, Paul said, is done away with in Christ. We brought it out this morning. All right, now, this veil is done away with, and then they see each other face to face, and they're known as they're known. Here's Rebecca way down here in the Mesopotamia. Here's Isaac way in the land of Canaan, and here is Isaac drawing Rebecca to him. Now then, we are headed for the land of Canaan. I believe that with all my heart. You say, what's Ten Commandments got to do with it? Law fulfills the law, and the law is the Ten Commandments. Now then, yeah, you say, well, have we got anything more than anybody else? I talked to Mr. Peters the other day, a fine man, and he didn't even know where the Ten Commandments come from. Going to church, you know, he ain't got that far yet. Now, so then you see here the Ten Commandments, as you all know, was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now then, here is the law, and here is Rebekah coming back to wed Isaac, which is the bridegroom, coming back over there. Now you say, Brother Pike, if Isaac is the sons of God, how is he the bridegroom? All right, let's see if we can take a minute and explain this right here. First of all, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. Is that right? I want to explain this slow. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He is heir to everything that the Father's got, like Isaac is. All right, now then, I want you to notice this now. Now, to God the Father, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the first brother or son among many brothers or many sons. Is that right? Now ye the sons of God, beloved. John said so. Now then, to God the Father, we are what? We are sons of God. Is that right? I want you to listen now. You got to listen to what I'm saying if you understand it. Now, because I never anywhere have I ever heard this taught, never before. I searched and I wondered and I squirmed and I thought, well, Lord, there's got to be an answer to this somewhere. And out in the west, they fume and fight and fuss over this thing and they can't get it straight. And one says the bride and one says the sons of God and they've got two things going. And when I come over to Memphis over there, somebody said, Brother Pike's got the sons of God and we got the bride. Well, it all got mixed up because somebody went to bed and had a dream that I had the bride. So that upset the apple cart and didn't know which way to go. Now, but here's the thing. To God the Father, to a father, we are a son to God the Father. Is that right? Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Ye are the sons of God. To as many as believed, Now, I didn't just say to the men folk, did it? As women, now you can be sons of God. Women, you can be sons of God. To as many as believe, to them gave the power to become the sons of God. And Christ is neither male nor female. They're all as the angels. If you count it for the resurrection of the dead, you neither married nor given in marriage. Now, they're not married in heaven. As flesh. All right, so then to God the Father, then we are sons of God. Is that right? But now listen, to God the Father, Jesus is the Son of God, and his many-membered body is the sons of God. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not sons of God. We are his body, his members, which means his bride. Is that right? One head, many members, one head, like Brother Al Gonzalez, he's the head of his family, and his body is his wife. No longer twain, but one flesh. He's the head of that one flesh. She's the membership of the body, and he is the head. Is that Bible? Am I right? As man the head of the woman, is that what the Bible said? Like Christ is the head of the church. So to the Lord Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his bride. We are the members of his body. He's coming back after his bride. But to God the Father, we the bride, who along with Jesus Christ, who is the head of the bride, the husband, who is our brother, the first brother, all of us together are what? Sons of God to God, but a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then we come down another step and we say, well, now then, what about the sons of God marrying the church? Now, to the head, Jesus Christ, we are his many-membered body, we are his bride. Is that right? The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. So then, here we are the body to Jesus Christ. Is that right? But now when we are linked together with Jesus, then we are one great body. Is that right? Then if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, then the church world is a woman to us. Is that right? That makes us a male. So then as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, sons of God, then we marry the church, and the church becomes our wife. Because Jesus Christ's wife is the church. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is. So that it's not a lot to fuss over and feed over. It's not something for one sect to say sons of God and another to say bride and this, but it's all one thing. Now, if you ever go out into the world, you're going to run into these things that we're talking about. You go into the West and in other places, and you're going to find this very thing they're talking about, and you're not going to be able to help them if you don't have a revelation, understand it, because they can put you to silence in just 1 minute. Just 1 minute's all they need, because they're great Bible scholars. You won't have a way out of it unless you got the mind of God. All right, now then, how many of you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Is that clear? All right, now then, I want our people to be fully furnished when they go out. I want them to be fully furnished and understand. The Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. They couldn't do it. There wasn't no way to get around it. And the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and that they might take notice that we've been with God. Is that right? Alright, now then, we want to be with the revelation. We want to be with God. Alright, now, we see them coming in at the evening time. The sons of God, I said all that to get to say this so it wouldn't be confusing to you. When I say Isaac here shows the sons of God marrying the church and so forth, it'll get all scrambled up in your mind if you don't understand what I'm saying, because you say, well, I thought that was a type of Christ. You know, here in Mount Moriah where Abraham was fixing to offer up Isaac, I pointed out that he was a type of us. Is that right? And that the ram that was caught over there was Christ. They couldn't get loose. So then we see this very clearly here as the Lord Jesus points it out to our hearts right here. The Holy Ghost teaching us, guiding us into all the truths of God, the real, genuine revelation truths. All right, now then, Isaac, finding Rebecca, takes Rebecca to wife at the age of 40. Now, how long was they in the wilderness? And then he came into Canaan. All right, now, how long did Jesus stay over in the wilderness himself? Well, a day for a year, is that right? A day for a year. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. He fasted 40 days to fulfill the Old Testament. Now, somebody said, I got to fast 40 days. No, you haven't. Ain't no place in the Bible that said you got to fast 40 days to get a miracle or to get blind eyes open. The Bible is saying, I know people that's fasted 40 days and still can't open blind eyes. That don't mean a thing. You do it by faith. These things have special significance, people. If you want to fast 40 days, that's good. If you want to fast 80 days, I'm sorry. Go do it. I'm sorry if you want to do it. But I ain't got nothing to do with it. Now, it's faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, if you notice that he took her to wife at the age of 40 years old, coming from Mesopotamia. I'm not going to try to explain the relative part of it here because it's tangled up so like a nut you'd never be able to get unscrambled. I'm just going to drop these thoughts in. Remember that Nahor took Milcah, the wife of Haran, his own brother, daughter. So to begin with, she married her uncle. So that if you see, when he come down here into the land of Mesopotamia, and if you get down there, you find out that he called down about four or five people here before, and then comes Rebekah, and then you wonder what kin she is. When you start trying to figure out, it's really a scrambled up thing. Because to begin with, you got a uncle and a niece here, and you got a cousin that's coming here, and like that song said to him, somebody said, I'm my own grandpa. Now, it's like another fellow, he's a big authority, he wrote about the sons of God and these giants and where they come from and the fallen sons of God and all of this, and I tell you what, I don't see how he ever got what he got, but that's the way he wrote it. He was supposed to be right. I believe we brought out something on that one night of what we understood about it. Sons of God, who are the sons of God? Who are the sons of God? You're the sons of God, is that right? Are you the sons of God? Was Abraham, or was Adam a son of God? Or did he fall from the garden? Or what is a fallen son of God? You understand what I'm saying? These sons of God married women, the Bible said. So they saw that the women was fair and took them to wife. Who ever heard of angels coming down here and marrying a woman? The Bible said an angel's a spirit. He don't go marry no woman. The Bible said in heaven they're all as angels. They neither marry nor given in marriage. When you're an angel, you don't go around marrying women. So then, that's not right at all. But here's the thing. It was sons of God that married women. And men that was born of them was great men of renown. Even before the flood, great men of renown. There was men of renown. Men like Enoch. Men like Methuselah. Lamech. Noah. Great men of renown, even before the flood. Same way after the flood. There was giants before the flood, there was giants after the flood. You understand what I'm saying? And so, well, where did giants come from? People back there lived to be 1,000 years old almost. In that time, a fella can grow pretty big. We got some over 9 feet tall around here, I think. I think Goliath went just a little over 9 feet. And here we are, we got a man that come to Atlanta, Georgia. Floyd, you was telling me about it, wasn't he? How tall was he? 9 foot, there's Goliath. I mean, we got giants today. We had giants in here. We got giants today. Is that right? I mean, if he'd step over a car, I expect he'd just put his foot over and step right over it. Anyway, so we still got giants. So I don't see how you can get what they got. But here's Isaac marrying the bride. All right, now we got a bride. Isaac is married. Then he goes to the land of Gerar. He's taken her from the land of Mesopotamia, and here we go to the land of Gerar. Now, may the Lord let us come back a little later and open this up to us, give us a mind of revelation, where we bring out some of it. We'll just get a little bit as we go along. All right, in the land of Gerar, they had stopped up all the wells that Abraham had dug, and the Bible says that Isaac goes back and he uncovers those wells. Now, but he goes into the land of Gerar, and a little later on, we'll get to some of that. We've already got it on tape where he uncovered the wells and what the name of the wells was that he uncovered, the ones that dug. It's already on tape. But this right here, he went and uncovered the wells. Over here in the land of Gerar, he had become very rich, and Abimelech said to him, go from us. You're too great for us. In other words, you need a land of your own. You need a place of your own. You're too big for us. You've got too much riches, too much power, and we're afraid of you, and we want you to go from us. Now, this has been the case of the Jew all down through the ages. The Jew, no matter what he does, he prospers. It doesn't matter what he does, he prospers, and he never has been able to find a place anywhere. And we brought it out on tape here in blessings, why that God moved him, and how it had to do with revelation concerning the gold and the silver and the mark of the beast coming in. Now, I spoke today concerning this. How many of you know that the days of Solomon not only showed the age beyond the millennium, but it also showed Antichrist? How many of you know that? How many of you know that that which came into him was 666? Do you know that? 666, that's what came in. You count it up, and it's 666. That's what he got in. That was that tribute that they paid him. It came in. It was 666. And so then we see a type there. In Solomon, when we brought it out about the Queen of Sheba coming, it shows two things there. All right, now, the Jew always being moved along never had any certain place to stay. Now, let's just take a little more here of this, if we can, concerning the two lineages. Now, are you beginning to understand that this lineage which is of Ishmael is not the Israelites? But Paul said a type of Israelites, and that this lineage right here is Israel, right here. This is Israel, and the Bible said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And it came to pass just like Paul said, because later when John saw the revelation, it's recorded over there in the book of Revelation, the Bible said that they were saved. Is that right? Now, the tribe of Dan was missing because the Bible likened him to the serpent. Said when the prophecy was given, when Jacob blessed him over there, he said, he shall be like a serpent by the way. And the serpent was to be taken out because out of the 12 apostles, there was one Judas by name that was missing because he showed the serpent. So then you remember how Joseph's children over there, how he had two children, and how God replaced the tribe there with that which had come from Joseph. All right. Now, this lineage right here really, really is Israel. Well, this is a type of Israel, and Paul likens this to New Jerusalem here. Mother of us all, New Jerusalem. Abraham, the father of the Jews, the faithful. Now, how many fathers have we got? We've got the father of the Jew, first dimension, is that right? The father of the Jew, Abraham. And then we got Father Peter, which is the father of the Catholics. And when I say that, I don't mean really that Peter's the father of the Catholics, but they claim him as the first pope. The father of the Catholics. It come out that way. Now, who gave Jesus trouble? Wasn't it Peter? It wasn't Peter the sanctified. It was Peter the carnal-minded that gave him trouble. He cut the man's ears off, and Peter always had his idea about how it ought to be. He just always did, and that kind of mind always give Jesus trouble. Jesus would say to Peter one minute, looking at Jesus, at Peter the sanctified part, and say, I give you the keys. Wasn't long before he turned right around to Peter the carnal part and say, get behind me, Satan. So then, he had trouble with him showing that Antichrist, or that Catholic thing that was going to war against the spiritual thing, having the keys to the kingdom. The Catholic Church declares that they got the keys to the kingdom because their father Peter was the one that Jesus gave them to them. And in the world, you say, that's silly. Did you know the whole world is going to fall for it? The whole world's going to fall for it. The Pope said he's a descendant of Peter, and that Peter handed the keys down to Pope John, and on down, and on down, and on down. Today he's got them. He's got the keys to hell and to death. He's got the keys to the kingdom. He's got the keys to everything, he says. And the whole world's going to believe it. Whether you believe it or not, the whole world's going to believe it. They're going to believe it. So then we got Father Abraham to the Jews. And in the second dimension, remember the Jew first, the Bible said. And in the second dimension, we got Father Peter here that the Catholics claim. Out in the third dimension, we've got Father George Washington, is that right? For the United States, called the father of our country, which is the third dimension. Now, these are your types. Remember, they're your types. And I'll draw a little diagram on here. They're your types. Now, if Brother Taylor will come right here and draw a little diagram, I'm going to show you what I mean when I say these are types. You got three major fathers, and we're dealing with the father Abraham, which is the Jew lineage. First dimension, second dimension, third dimension, and we're dealing with the first dimension, the Jew first. Draw us a little square long block. All right, now watch what we're doing right here, and this will help you not to be confused. Now we got right here, I'm going to divide this into three parts. Just make me three pieces out of this song. Like I cut a cake here into three parts. Get a little division work in it. All right, now, you understand what we're doing now? All right, now this right here is the Jew. And this right here is the Catholic. And we're giving them religious names. Jew, Catholic, and then we're going to put the Protestants. Wait just a minute. Rub this out just a minute and divide this section right here. We got something wrong here. Let me get this right. Because if I don't, this will be confusing to you. Rub the word Catholic out. Now we're going to put a middle wall of partition right here and put CAT on this side. That's what they call them anyways, cats. They say if you help your cat. All right, right here we're going to put PRO. And that's about what the world goes for today. If you're a good football player, they call you a pro. You know, everything's professionals with it. All right, now, here's the middle wall of partition. Here's the dividing line. All right, now this is Jew, Catholic, and Protestants. Now, you see, we got a big section for the Jew, and we got one of the middle sections just halfing up right here. You see him? Now, this is why I do that, to keep it from being confusion, because it's supposed to be 1, 2, 3 over to the millennium. 4,000 years, 2,000 years, and 1,000 years is the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to run. I just wish that it was possible that I could share this with you the way I understand it. And if I just had about maybe 100 years, I could do it. 4,000, 2,000, and 1,000. All right, now, see here, you got 4,000 years to the Jew. This is the water rim right here. This is the water rim, and this is the rim that we're dealing with, the water rim. All right, now the next one, we're going to put this all the way across here and break the middle wall of partition right here that Jesus came to tear down, right here. All right, that is the blood rim. All of it is the blood rim. Now the spirit rim is over here in the millennium. The spirit rim. Here is the spirit rim over here in the millennium. The blood rim back here is only this is a type. Now we're going to put B and S right here to show you that these are types. Just put B on this side for blood and S on the other side for spirit. Now to show you that them are the types. Now, does that take away that confusing element that I spoke of about the 1, 2, 3? You understand what I'm saying? See, when I teach it to you, water, blood, and spirit, and Jew, Catholic, and Protestant, then when I jump over in the millennium and I try to bring in another one, well, it's confusing to you. Because that makes four when it's just really three of them. You understand what I'm saying? So it's really 4,000, 2,000, 1,000, and God, knowing that by the time we get over here, it's going to be too late for a lot of us to do anything, then he broke this one down to give us a type while we still have a chance for repentance, to give us a full spiritual education. So then, he broke it down into types, water, blood, and spirit. Now, if we have time tonight, which we don't have time tonight because I'm fixing to stop here. It's getting late already. We've just stumbled around a lot tonight. There's been so much here to get into. But if we have time tonight, we go back, and we will eventually do it, in a review, and show what happened to Adam when he fell from the garden and why these rims are taut like they are. What happened to him and why we're in the condition that we're in because of these things right here. You understand what I'm saying? Now then, we brought out a little of it on the first tapes, but we just hit it lightly. And to be able to get into it, we have to bring out a full revelation that I had in mind tonight to go back to if we could. But I saw we had so many things here in these natural things that we wouldn't be able to do that. So then I wanted to run this on out to where we get the bride, and then maybe we can go back and review right here, and I could pick up some revelation on it. But now, how many of you understand this right here? Why I say natural, physical, and spiritual? How many of you know that when you say water, you're speaking of the life of all natural things, vegetation, is that right? The world of vegetation, all of it lives on water. That's the lifeline of the natural world, the world of vegetation, trees and herbs and so forth. And how many of you know that when you talk about human physics, which is human anatomy, that it's the physical, and that the lifeline of it is blood. Is that right? All right, now, all beast life is blood. Man is no more than a beast. All right, now, the spiritual, how many of you knows when you speak of angelic life, that you're speaking of the lifeline, which is spirit? So then, this is natural, this is physical, and this is spiritual or angelic. Is that right? All right, that's why we term these things like we do. First power, second power, third power, first dominion, second dimension, third dimension, first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Now, we could go on and on here for the next 30 minutes if it was just mine to take up the time, which I'm not going to do, and put the headings on this in the religious sense and in the natural sense and the other things that would make it a lot more clear to you when you went to teach. But I just want to drop this little piece in here to where you could put it down on your paper tonight. And with that, we're going to close and let you go. I know some of you is tired and out because I see you yawning. I didn't see about two or three of you here at one time yawning. Must be time to quit. I want you to stand with me. I hope you got these things down tonight. And I haven't felt a keen interest tonight. At night, somehow or another, on our Sunday nights, I just don't feel a very keen interest. I know you are interested because I don't feel a bad spirit coming from you, but I just don't feel, you don't have enough interest to draw the mind of God, and I just stumble around. I just can't get into that mind like I want to. Now, on Sunday morning, you're usually fresh in your body, and you draw real good, and we usually, well, it's just, it's kind of hard. You draw in such a way that the anointing comes to preach on Sunday morning, and that still makes it hard. So then we lose out on Sunday night. We lose out in an awful big way because there's no drawing on Sunday night. Most people are tired, and they just want to go home. Most people won't go home time to get here. So I just don't can't get in the mind of the Lord. But anyway, you got what you got, and that's all that the Lord sees fit to give you. Let's bow our heads together. Now, while they're playing on the guitar over here, I want you to meditate for just a minute or two. There may be somebody here tonight that needs prayer, needs help, needs strengthening in their bodies or in their spirits or in their minds. You don't ever know what people are up against when they come to the house of God. You don't know until you walk in their shoes and you live in their house and you enter into their heart and their environment, then you don't know what they're going through with. I've often said it might be a bright, sunshiny day, a spring morning with the birds singing in your heart and in your life. But it might be a storm, a tornado, a gloomy day of sorrow and heartaches in another's house or their heart. So tonight, let's pray that there'll be a heavenly springtime of grace and peace and joy in every heart, because that's what God wants. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Solomon, in his revelation, he stated in his writings, he said you could tell when summer was nigh, he said, because the little flowers will begin to put forth their faces and their buds. He said the voice of the turtle, which we know to be the turtle dove, is heard in the land and starts cooing to its mate. When you see people begin to come out, when faces turn toward heaven, spiritual faces, then you know that springtime of God's grace is getting closer and closer. With the Jews going back to the homeland, the fig tree of God putting forth its bud and its branches, something is taking place. Something is happening. Folks, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't miss it. Your carnal mind is going to make you miss it if you're not careful. You young girls, keep your mind on God. Get your mind off of boys. And you little silly boys that's running around and can't stay away from girls, you come into the house of the Lord, and some of you, I feel your spirit, you'll never even think on the Lord the whole time you're here. You're just plain silly over a girl. I look for the Lord to take some of you girls and boys and never give you a wife and never give you a husband because of the way you do. I want to say this while you got your heads bowed. I was just thinking the other day how There's been a half a dozen eggs, dozen girls that's been after my George Jr. They've run all over the country after him, and they've wrote him letters, and he got letters that's just silly, coming from all over the place, wanting to marry him. One little old cripple girl down there, that seems to be a fairly nice girl, ain't been running around after him, and lo and behold, God sends him down there and looks like he's going to wind up marrying. A girl's crippled and can't get out. And here you girls are running around after boys, God probably won't ever keep your husband. And you boys' wives the same way. That's right. And some little girl sitting off over yonder is going to wind up with the boy that you wanted so much. You watch and see what I'm telling you. And you'll wind up an old maid. If you do happen to get a husband, he'll probably be a drunk, whoremonger, or a card player, or a dice shooter or something. Or if they bet, he might be a hippie. That's right, you wind up a hippie. All right. Now, I appreciate you tonight. I thank God for you. And I trust that the Lord will do something for you tonight. These little bit of children are lined up again tonight to be prayed for. If there's anything that you need tonight from the Lord Jesus, as we take just a few minutes, we'll be glad to pray for you. If you're sick in your body, if you need healing, I don't know. I know that my sister tonight, I was praying for Jeff. Her little baby's been very sick, very sick. I know that the devil is still, Barbara, a hard way to go. And I know just exactly what she's going through with. After you go back on God, you begin to think, yes, I'm going to lose my child, because the devil is screaming in your ear all the time, see? Screaming in your ear. Now you'll pray for it. Now you'll pray for it. Now you'll pray for it. You see, your faith is dying. God wants to help you. God gives. He doesn't want to. The Bible said he doesn't afflict willingly. But it's screaming in your ear, see, that you didn't do what you ought to. When you don't give to God like you know you ought to, and you spend it on the flesh when you ought to give it to God. When you give your time to the world when you know you ought to pray, and ought to fast, and ought to study. Then when the trying time comes, the cries in the ear. The Bible said in the ears of the rich man there's an uncertain sound. Uncertain sound in the ears of the rich man. So then you see, we need to live right, folks. If we don't, condemnation will swallow us up. For in the wilderness, the earth opened up and swallowed the people up. And in the physical realms, your body being that earth will literally swallow your soul up with condemnation because of not doing what God has commanded you to do. Not going on with the Lord Jesus and not obeying him. Letting condemnation in. Many of you eat when the Lord tells you to fast. Many of you are literally eating yourself to death. It's amazing. I look at you and I think, dear God in heaven, you said a person with no control over their spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. And I think, Lord, these people are literally eating themselves to death. But the Bible said not to be given to appetite. Just eat, eat, on your mind, night and day, eat. Just can't get away from eating. That's all you want to do is eat. My friend, you are going to be lost. That is a bondage. And Paul said not to come into bondage of anything. That will cause you to be lost because that is an evil spirit that defiles the temple of God. And the Bible said if you defile the temple of God, you'll destroy it. All it takes is just one thing, a little spirit of resentment. A little spirit, as you would call it, is no little spirit, it's a devil. A little spirit of rebellion. Just a little bit of these things, a little fox has spoiled out. A little bit of your own reasoning. Just a little bit of leading to your own understanding is a violation of God, and he commanded you not to lean to your own understanding. But just a little bit of trying to figure out yourself and reason it out in your own mind and try to understand it, that's all it takes for you to be lost. That's all. The God of mind is death. So tonight, seriously consider these things that I'm saying. And I want to pray for all of you before I pray for these little folks here. I want to pray a prayer for every one of you together. And then if you want to come and be prayed for individually tonight, I'll be glad to do it. Now then, let's bow our heads together as I pray for you tonight. Father, Lord of heaven, I see hearts that are discouraged. I see people that are defeated, dear God. Lord, in their minds and in their strength and ego for the Lord Jesus. And I can see, Father, that it's because they have let Satan pass condemnation and bring in an oppositional thing, Lord, that they did not have to let in. Having given place to the devil, Father, he has become a great barrier, a wall that they can't get around. Lord, a stone to crush him to death. But I pray that as the angel rolled away the stone, Lord, at the sepulchre, Lord, that this heart of stone shall be taken out. And, oh God, that our souls shall go free in the life to God who gave it. Lord, as we're crucified with Christ, for at death you said it goeth back to God who gave it. And, Lord, being crucified, oh God, with thee, Lord, at Calvary, and, Lord, the stone being rolled away, we trust that that celestial body, Father, has ascended into thy presence to be here with thee, Lord, with Christ in God, until that day of your coming with 10,000 of the saints. Father, we pray that that stone would be taken away as Jacob took it away from the well, Lord, to water the sheep in that day for Rachel. And, oh God, may it be taken away in the heart of flesh and revelation be within us. And that you might write your laws upon the table of our heart, the revelational laws of your word, that we might walk in your way, as David of old said, to hide thy word in our heart, that it may be a lamp unto our feet, and that we might not sin against thee, that our heart might be fixed. When evil tidings come, it will not trouble us, and condemnation will not swallow us up. But by faith, Lord, that we'll be victorious in everything we do. That we walk right, Lord, and bring every thought into subjection. Our faith will not waver. But day by day, Lord, it will be sturdy. It will be sound, Lord. And Father, we will, as the song says, overcome. Lord, therefore we pray in the name of the Son of God tonight, Lord, that you'll bless these people, heal these people, forgive them their sins, open their hearts, and let them see in Jesus' name.